Working Class on DeerCast. What's up, everybody? Back again. I'm wearing a different jacket this week. I wear the same clothes every week, like I said last episode, so you know, Aaron. Aaron Blicey is in the house. What's up, dude?
What's going on, man? I feel like I wear the same clothes for every podcast I do as well. Like, I'm starting to video my podcast, and it's like, man, I really need to, like, change my wardrobe up. But honestly, I don't own a lot of stuff that isn't, like, my brand or, you know, like a partner brand. I just wear that what they give me.
Don't really need to buy anything else. Aaron Blicey's the guest this week. Aaron is the host of the Fall Podcast. You've been in the outdoor industry a long while, have a ton of experience, and we've got to be good friends over the last few years. So glad you could join me on a DeerCast series this time.
Heck yeah, man. I'm super pumped about it. Yeah, we, for the last probably 2 years, maybe, you and I have become pretty good friends, and just, you know, you and I talk about it, you know, off record, stuff like that. We are friends with other podcasters, but like you and I are, like, you're probably my closest podcast friend. And, you know, we throw ideas around to each other a lot. And, you know, it's good just to have a sounding board like that and just kind of, you know, the grind that everybody goes through. So you do understand it.
For sure. For sure. And for everyone tuning in, if you're watching or listening, however you consume the DeerCast series, hopefully you're in DeerCast supporting it. This is going to be like the first BS type session for DeerCast. So it'll be a little different for this series. Like, we're going to talk deer hunting, but I'm just giving you guys the pre-warning. If we go off on some side podcast nerd tangents or whatever else, just go with the flow, and we'll see what type of reactions we get from this series within DeerCast if we do that. So, but yeah, we're both nerds to a point because we're podcasters, even though I feel like your skill and knowledge level of like the technology that podcasting and being an online creator, as cringy as that sounds to say, is like way above mine. I feel like I'm like a caveman trying to figure it out. And I feel like this is your space for the most part.
You know, just from, I've been in the industry 11 years now, started filming Chris and Casey Kiefer for, well, 10 years. You know, I was their executive producer and filmed all their stuff and edited that. And, you know, I've seen the evolution of, like, when I got into the industry, like, the DSLR cameras were just coming into the industry. And then now it's turned from, like, very cinematic and slider shots and drone shots and stuff like that now to, like, just all vlog stuff. And I've seen both, and I kind of like the vlog style better. And it's just easier. And also, it's just, I feel like it's, I like it, but I don't like, you and I are just talking about it, just how it's like, it's so weird that people, that's what they want to consume. And so, but I will say, it's a long way of me saying I am in the space, but for some reason, I don't use my platform to the ability that I, with my know-it-all, you know what I mean? What I know and everything. I don't, and I'm just starting to do that. I'm 4 years into my podcast, and I'm just starting to video my podcast, and I'm just starting to put like reels out there. And it's like, why haven't I been doing this from the beginning, you know?
Yeah, I get that. As a consumer, I don't consume as much outdoor content now like I used to. And I'll tell you, like, I remember when like the cinematic look of like hunting shows came on the scene a little bit. And it was cool, but I'll be honest, I would rather see like real life type stuff. And to me, like, too much of it is cool. Like, there's shows that you're like, man, this is awesome. But then there's shows where you're just kind of like, oh, okay, another drone shot, another this, another. And so I don't know. For me, I like it both, but I like it. I don't like it. I don't like both all the time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I haven't consumed, I haven't watched a hunting television show in about 6 years.
Really?
literally, I have not watched a Sportsman Outdoor Channel, nothing like that in about 6 years. But I think a lot of that is because I know what goes into it. So it's like, I don't get to sit down and enjoy it like I used to. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. Like, when we go to the field and we're producing in the field, it's almost a pain in the butt to like, oh, I got to get the slider out. Oh, I got to like get the drone out. Like, call me lazy, but man, it's a pain in the butt. It really is. And
And iPhones have just changed everything.
Oh yeah.
And I think, like you said, the vlog thing, I didn't mean to cut you short on that. I apologize for that.
No, you're good.
The the real life, like, kind of, you've said it too. It's like some people just want to see what you're doing and kind of like hang out with you.
As weird as that sounds, and is like, because I'm like a homebody, like just kind of leave me alone kind of thing. And I don't really want to be in front and in front of everybody and being like, here I am kind of thing. So I don't look at it that way, but agreed, man. Like I'll watch, like you and I are talking about, I watch the Millennial Farmer. I'm not a farmer. I just, he vlogs all day and I just like his content. I have no idea why I get sucked into it, really, you know, but that's how everybody wants to consume it.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to like, I don't know. I think that's why I like Whistling Diesel's channel does so well. Yeah. It's like, yeah, he has some cinematic cool shots sometimes, but he's just hanging out doing wild stuff. And it's almost like you're hanging out with one of your crazy friends while he destroys a $100,000 truck. Or what?
It's weird.
You know, I like that guy, man. I really do. Like, some of the stuff makes me cringe. It's like, oh, that's a nice whatever. But if you don't know Whistling Diesel, it's worth watching. But
it is. And honestly, I think a lot of people watch him for watching, like, people in the hunting industry that we won't name names that are just like, okay, when's the next blow up? When's this going to happen? You know, I like watching his stuff too, because it's like, okay, what, you know, what 3/4 ton brand new 2022 diesel is he going to buy off the lot and go wreck? It's like,
yeah,
really?
Yeah. It's crazy. So, talking about that too, like some of the characters now that are in our space in the hunting industry, man, it's like, I don't know. There's like organic real content where it's like you and I are, we're having a great organic conversation that we didn't plan ahead, and we're just talking like buddies right now. That's part of what we do with both of our brands. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And then there's people that take this organic thing and then stack up all this fake, like burning their truck down or doing some crazy stuff like that. Like, yes, everyone talks about it, but I don't want to be that guy,
man. You know, I don't know if this is the day that we get into that burning trucks down and stuff, because there is, I've got a whole deal on it, and it's like, that's just not how I am, man. And it's not how, whether the person did that on purpose for a click or not, like, you know, you watch the video, after the truck starts burning, it's like, oh, we're going to roll with this. We're rolling. Like,
yeah.
This is going to get stupid clicks, you know? And it's like, I just don't think that way, I guess. And like all my buddies are like, man, you need to make some more TikTok reels and more stuff like that. And you have all the ability to do it. And I'm like, I don't want to though. Like, that's not how, I don't know. That's just not how I am.
Now, okay. Something crazy happens to me and my truck burns down and I get a minute of video of it. You know, that sucks, but it's like, I'm not doing things like that to get clickable content. Like, if just know now, if anything wild happens to our crew and it's on TikTok or Instagram, it just happened to us.
Organic.
Like, it was a real accident. And we're like, hey, man, it happened. We didn't plan it, but there's nothing we can do about it. Like, that's a little different, I think.
I don't want to keep going down this road, but let's be honest.
It's a dangerous road.
Are you going to, you know, light your CRP, your set aside grass, on fire, holding your arm out of your really, really nice truck
with a drip torch?
I'm not.
Not me.
With a drip torch? Like, let's just be honest with the brain cells we have. Like, you know, either you have so much money, which is probably the fact that where it's like material things don't mean as much as it to you and I didn't grow up with a lot of money. I'm cheap now because of it. Like, I want to hold my money. So it's like, man, I try to keep nice things. My truck is, you know, it's like 5 years old, but it looks brand new.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just don't, there's something screw missing there.
And I realize we're probably contradicting ourselves a little bit, that I just like to watch Whistling Diesel destroy a $100,000 truck. And then the difference is someone does a drip torch. But I think it's like, when I go to Whistling Diesel for that content, that's what he does. It's not an accident. He's like, hey, we're going to destroy this truck. Check it out. If every time he did that, it was like, oh, man, I accidentally jumped this diesel truck 100 feet and broke the frame. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what he does.
Yeah.
Anyway, it gets weird. There's a lot of stuff we could talk about there. But
yeah.
The outdoor space is a good space. but there's some weird stuff that happens within this space.
Well, and it's just the stuff that's like, it takes one human to ruin it for all of us. And we are so small. Mm-hmm. We are the hunting industry. I hate calling it industry, but the hunting world and it is so micro on the grand scheme of things.
Yeah,
that
it is.
It's like, it just takes one person, man. And I'm like, every time I see something like that, it's like, man, if I lose hunting and this is like a result of it, I'm gonna be really upset. You know,
it would be that'd be a major bummer to lose hunting rights and privileges over something somebody did for TikTok or Instagram or whatever. But it could happen, man. It's like, you know, we do have to be conscious of that. Like, and two, though, there's people, man, that probably look at us the way we talk, you know, working class bone as a whole. We're not buttoned up, clean language. Like, I don't put us up for vote to go talk to a school about conservation. We're not that crew. Could we? Yeah, probably we could. But pick somebody else. Pick Bill Winkie or Mark Drury or Terry Drury. You know, like, those guys will kill it. We're not the job for that crew. We're your get off work, have a beer, talk hunting with your buddies crew. But also, I will say, you know, we're probably not the guys you'd vote us to be the spokespeople of hunting. But also, we're not doing anything unethical or flashy to have it ruined for us.
Yeah. And, you know, I might be at fault here too, because I like to film my hunts. And, you know, you go to my YouTube channel, you'll see my hunts on there. Some people will look at that as wrong, and in the grand scheme of things, it could be, and it might be, but like you just said, I'm trying to be ethical is beyond ethical as I can. I'm almost to a fault, like too careful. You know what I mean? But I just know how just something little can be, you know, taken away from it, and then you're tarnished. You are done, you know? And I think that comes from a background too. Like when I was in high school, I was getting recruited to play sports, you know, and all my friends were going out and drinking and stuff in high school and everything. Dude, I'm not gonna lie to you. I never drank a drop of alcohol in high school. Like I was a pretty clean cut kid, like, but also as a young age, like I was getting looks from colleges and I was always the one of like, man, if I get in trouble one time, like I am done.
Yeah.
And I still kind of like use that as well.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, where we're alluding to a little bit, it's like, yeah, as if a hunting influencer, I just hate that, but it's what it is, right? You're in media, you're in the public eye in our space. Like, if there's a game law that's broken, sometimes that stuff happens on accident. But I think the number one thing is to own it, talk about it, show how the mistake was made, or whatever you got to do. Because, dude, things happen, right? Like, not everybody's perfect. And I think that's where like a lot of those guys like get such a bad look is they don't own it and they don't talk about it. Like, do you know what I mean? It's just like, it's immediate defense mode. I didn't do nothing wrong. Where it should be like, hey man, I had the wrong tag. I bought the wrong tag. Look it. I'll show you what I did. This is how it got messed up. I'm paying my fine. I'll do my time. I think that would change it. Cause that you're still being a role model for an honest mistake, or whatever happened.
Yeah, I've got a story. I don't know if you want to air it out here, that happened to me. I have a violation in Missouri, and nobody knows that.
If you want to air it out, you can. But
but this is an honest mistake. I did do a podcast on it, like real early in my podcast. And what had happened in 2015, I went to Missouri and hunted a buddy's land. Okay, and the buddy, his dad is the sheriff of the county that I was hunting. Okay. This is all on film. I have the footage. And honestly, I was going to edit it because it's a really cool hunt and I was going to edit it and put it up, but I didn't want people to think I was putting it up for a click. That's why I've not done it. You know, I've been sitting on this for 7 years and I just don't want people to think I'm doing it for a click. So, but anyway, the story is we went in, when I say we, I had a guy filming me and went in for a hunt in the morning. It was November 14th of 2015. And went in this creek bottom. It's a perfect morning, cold, you know, frosty ground. I was in this ditch. It was a big creek and it had real high banks.
Mm-hmm.
And on each side there was ag fields. So the sun's coming up and I'm like, I'm going to crack the antlers together, just blind rattle. If there's anything, you know, in these ag fields that I can't see, cause it kind of like, I was still a little lower.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just crack them together and see what happens. I crack them together 52 seconds into my rattle session. I look to my left and I just see a framey deer coming right at me. I mean, running in hot. And I'm like, big buck, big buck. And all I saw was a wide frame.
Mm-hmm.
He runs underneath me. This is all on film. Runs to the creek in the bottom and he stops and he's looking around. And I'm like trying to get the antlers out of my hand and get my bow. And in a matter of seconds, he jumps the creek. I go to full draw. I ask the guy if he's on him. He goes, yep. I stop him 32 yards. I shoot him. He runs off. I watch him die.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and that was my first out of state buck ever.
Yeah. Okay?
And I lose it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a good buck. Didn't know how good, just knew coming from Michigan wide. Everybody's like, oh, he was, you know, he's 18 inches wide.
Yeah. You know a shooter when you see it. Yeah.
Exactly. So he runs off, dies, and we do the thing in the tree. And then it starts running through my head. I'm like, let's watch the footage. So I go, he pulls the footage up and I'm looking at it. I'm trying to look on the little LCD and I'm like, and I go, man, he goes, what? And I go, I really hope he's got a G3 on one of those sides. He looks like a 6-point and I'm in an APR county.
Oh.
And I'm like, I really hope he's got a 6-point somewhere. It looks like he's just got brows and just like twos. That's it. And now I immediately go from like top of the world to, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I might've just screwed up here. And I'm like, I'm going to get down. I'm going to go check this deer out. And dude, he stayed in the tree and was filming me from the tree, like walk up to him and everything. And the whole time I'm walking up there, I'm like, please just have another point. Please. I just don't want to go through something like this, you know?
Right.
And you got to think too, at this point in 2015, I had not killed a deer over 105 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the last 7 years of my hunting journey has been like really good to me. Like I've really amped my stuff up. And so like the pressure of wanting to kill a bigger deer, it was at ultimate high,
yeah,
you know, and just wanting to be like, I wanted to buck on the wall kind of thing.
Right.
And so I walk up to this deer and I walk up. I'm like, man, he's got a good frame. But I'm like, is there a kicker or something? Clean six. Okay. And I'm like, crap. What do I do now?
Yeah.
So the first thing I say to myself is I'm like, I have to call this in. You know, so I get back up in the tree and I tell the guy filming me, I'm like, yeah, he's a six. I said, I'm going to call my buddy and then get a hold of his dad, the sheriff, and I'm going to give him the story. And I said, let's film it all, because if they would let us use the footage, then I want to have everything filmed, the DNR officer, all that stuff, you know? And so I call the sheriff and he's like, yeah, no problem. You know, he wasn't mad, no nothing. And he goes, let me get you in contact with the head of the DNR and you can give him a call. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, sounds good. So I call him and he's like, well, meet me at the meat locker and we'll go through it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right. So we pull in to the meat locker, pull out a tailgate, and he's like, ah, he's like, Matt, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of one of those things, but he's like, he goes, why don't you come over to my truck with me? I'm like, okay. He gets me in the truck and he's talking to me. And he goes, you would be surprised at how many 6 points we find in the ditch in this county.
Oh,
he said, he's like, a lot of 6 points. He's like, actually, you're the first one to ever call one in.
Wow.
To me. And I'm like, only kids, the youth could shoot 6 points. You had to have, I think it was 4 on 1 side, I think is mm-hmm. what it was, the APR. And I knew that, but it just like caught me in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, and which doesn't make it right. I mean, it was a learning experience. And he goes, well, I'm going to have to find you. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's fine. He's like, I'm going to have to take the deer. And I'm like, man, like,
that's a bummer.
You know, it's my first out of state buck. He's not a giant, you know, he's probably, like I said, 105 inch 6-point, maybe 106-point, maybe.
Yeah.
He's wider, but he's just a six.
Yeah.
And, he finds me $250. And takes the deer. They donate the meat, which I was fine with, you know, but they destroyed the antlers and all that stuff. And he goes, I appreciate you calling it in. And I'm like, well, there's no question. Like, I'm just not that type of guy to not be transparent, like,
yeah,
and hide anything. And he's like, I don't really want you to show anybody the footage, you know, right now, and just kind of keep it to yourself right now. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, I think now 7 years now, like, I think it's a really cool hunt. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be something cool to show. But yeah, it's one of those things that was just like, it happens to just anybody, you know. It could happen to you, it could happen to me again. I hope not.
And exactly what you just said is exactly like the type of thing I was referring to, you know, like, it's, yes, it's, you broke the rules, the law, or whatever, but it's like some stuff, if you just talk about it like that, like, I can see how that happened. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, it's not like you shot a buck and you didn't have a tag for it just because you didn't feel like buying a tag or you didn't want to spend the money. And then if right. you did kill one, then you were going to go get a tag, which yep. I hear people say that to this day. We run into people at trade shows, man, and you would be amazed. If we'd had a game warden just sitting underneath our booth, he'd pop up and just write citations. I cannot believe what some people will admit to us. Like, you know, it's like, and I just look at them. I don't know if they think we're going to be like, oh, yeah, don't say nothing. And I'm just looking at people like, what are you?
Like, man, there's still people around here that, I mean, Michigan's a 2-buck state, but there's people around here that you might, you know, Judy Smith might kill a buck. And Judy Smith's never hunted a day in her life. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's yeah. not a real name from around here, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's just, man, what are you doing? Like, I just wasn't raised that way, I guess. And
yeah.
I don't know.
The thing is, it's a fun conversation. And it's a conversation that needs to happen from time to time. And mistakes happen. I think if you're just like, hey man, I messed up, or I had no idea, I didn't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot in that. You know, I think Lee Lukoski had something years ago about, accidentally, I don't know the exact detail, had the wrong tag or mistagged a deer and basically just straight up about it, and nobody cares.
Right.
They're just like, exactly. Yeah, that happens.
I remember that was a couple of years ago. It was something I think he put the wrong tag on it, maybe, or
and probably called it in. I can't remember. And then after it was like, oh crap, dude, I checked that. You get in a hurry. You shoot a buck, you get in a hurry, you're doing stuff. Like, I'm always like checking, and then I'll be like, oh crap, did I? Okay, yeah, but I did tag it right. You know what I mean? It's just like a lot going on. You're excited.
Well, and two, like, even in Iowa, I'm pretty sure it's still a law that you have to, when you tag it, it's got to be between the brow and the G2.
Oh, really?
The tag has to.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could ask Eric or Doug about it, but because when I went to Iowa in 19, like, I read all that stuff. Like, I wanted to be, you know, even keel on everything, and that was a thing. But now I'll see pictures like Iowa on like Facebook or whatever, the big buck page or whatever, Iowa Trophy Box or something like that. There's dudes putting like tags in between the 3 and the 4 or on their leg, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's a law. You have to have it between the brow and the G2, and
yeah,
I bet you people don't know that.
Well, there's some Western states that in transport don't even require the tag to be on the animal. Mm-hmm. You know, like a lot of Western states, you notch the tag. I think Iowa, you have to notch the tag. I don't know. Yep. I've never killed an animal in Iowa, but like out West, you notch the month and the date, so you can't fib on it. But yeah, like, I felt weird like transporting. Someone was like, oh hey, you don't lose your tag because we got to go through this brush and stuff. You don't actually have it on your person, but it doesn't need to be on the deer in transport. And that always weirds me out. It makes me, I'm like, man, I'll just tape it on there, that way nothing mm-hmm. can happen. But things happen, man, you know. It's that's life.
And I'm always worried about moving deer. Even here in Michigan, like, where I find him laid or like dead, like, that's like, let's not move him. Like, we got to put a tag on him. Like,
yeah.
That's just, I don't know. That's how I was raised, I guess.
No, it's the right thing to do. It's a fun conversation, but let's go more positive now. Like, you had a very successful season. You're a Michigan guy, mm-hmm. And you had a killer season. So congrats on the successful year.
Thank
again.
You. Yeah, appreciate it.
So
yeah, it's the second time I've ever, we can kill 2 bucks here in Michigan. So it's the second time I've ever killed 2 bucks in Michigan. And the first time was in 2008. I killed a buck with my bow, and actually it was really odd. Like, No, it was the one with the gun. So I killed one with a bow, decent buck, and then opening day rifle season comes around, and then a buck came through that had just been shot, and his leg was all, he was like a little 5-point, and I'm like, I'm not going to, like, he just didn't look like he was going to survive. So I shot him and put my tag on him, and then I was like, well, I'm tagged out. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it officially tagged out was only the second time I've ever done it in Michigan.
Awesome. That's a good feeling.
It was, dude. It was, I didn't expect it at all. It was on, I shot my second one on the 21st of October. So I was done hunting October 21st. And I could have went to some different states and stuff like that, but I got some big trips coming up the next couple of years. So I want to build the brownie points with the wife and do all the wife stuff and the family stuff. And
yeah,
and hopefully she remembers that.
Yeah. Remember, honey, when I tagged out early and I didn't keep hunting out of state? Just butter up on that's smart. Yep. You got to do that, man. Like, that's what I kind of did. I tagged out the November 12th, and I had people like, are you going to go to Indiana? Are you, dude, come up to Wisconsin. Had a lot of great offers from people. I appreciate everybody that reached out. Like, hey, come out here. Come to Indiana. I got a farm for you. Shout out to you guys. Awesome. But I would love to do that and just try to see how many I could stack up.
Well, and I think it helped for me last year. I went to three different states and killed three bucks last year. So I think that happening last year was like, I can take a little bit of time off here. Like, I'm good. You know, I don't need to get too greedy.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I have a doe tag and everyone's like, you going to go try out and kill a doe? I'm like, well, I killed an elk and two bucks and a doe. I don't need any more meat. So I don't need to go kill one just to kill one. I don't need to get more validation from the internet because I killed a doe in December.
Yeah, and that's something like right now here, we're right before Christmas recording this, but our season goes to January 1. We've got at our family farm here, I think the other night we were sitting in the hay field and there was 105 deer in the field and only 15 of them were bucks. And at one time, there was no duplicate. So it's like, we have families that want meat as well. So I'm just like, I'll go bear the cold and I'd like to try to kill him with my bow again. And I've got a tag, so why not do it? And just try to thin the herd a little bit. And I'm not against shooting does late, but I like shooting does early just because I feel like those are like your resident does, the does that actually live there. I feel like when you're killing does late, you might be pulling does like us. We have a big ag field that draws a lot of deer in late because it's a lot of the winter food. I might be killing a doe that lives, you know, a couple miles away.
Like, yeah.
To me, that doesn't really do much for my farm. So I that's my theory. Killing does early is like a resident thing.
That makes sense to me. I like to shoot does early, but also I get in certain circumstances, like we had Perry Batten on from, he's one of Mark's farm managers. We had him on a couple weeks ago and they said they'll go out and shoot a bunch, but there's the density in the areas they are at is like insane. I know buddies in there and it's like, yeah, they need to shoot does like that. Well, they get a lot of EHD and stuff like that because of the high deer density numbers. It's like Mother Nature's way of like trying to axe it down. But I'm going to switch a little bit on gears from your season. And if we want to go into details on your season, we can by all means. But in my area where I hunt, one of the areas I hunt, I feel like everything just got shot up bad this year.
Yeah.
Worse than other years past. And I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Here where I'm at in Michigan, it's
you're thinking it's about what tough. You're going to say. It's funny. You're like, how do I tackle this?
Yeah. I could tick a lot of people off, but man, our gun season starts November 15th every year. And it's right in the middle of the rut. And like those first couple of days, like everything gets shot up, you know. I got three. So the two bucks that I did kill this year were new deer. I've never seen them before in my life. So I had a hit list of two bucks I was for sure going to kill that I was watching. One, I had to kind of make a game time decision maybe. And two of those three bucks got killed that I know for sure. The third one, I know he's alive right now, which is good.
Yeah.
I'm like, where did you hide? Where,
what did you do?
The section I hunt in, or one of the sections, there's 13 box blinds in, you know, the one section. And that's just what you can see from the road. So I agree with you, man. I think everything got shot up. We have 219 acres at our family farm. We killed four bucks on 219 acres, and then the neighbors, they kill like another $6. Like every deer that we were deeming shootable deer all got killed.
Yeah. I feel so, similar situation. Our gun season comes in just after years, but still rut. You know, I consider it fairly pretty much peak rut. And then there's a break over Thanksgiving, then second season comes in. But I feel that way. Like, but I feel like a lot of deer from people I talk to in my local area, I don't necessarily mean like on the block I hunt or, but in the area, I feel like a lot of deer got wounded during bow season. And then I feel like everything just got wiped out during firearm. And I don't know what it is this year versus another year. I don't know. I don't have any explanation.
Are you getting more people that were sending you stuff this year than normal, or
that might be it? Like people just reach out to me for like, hey man, I hit this buck here and I'm having a hard time finding it. What do you think? Maybe that's why I might have a skewed perception. I'm hoping that's all it is. But yeah. I remember talking to my buddy Todd and being like, what is going on, man? Everyone's wounding them. And a lot of it was this, dude, I know I smoked this deer. And I had to be like, listen, shit happens. You didn't smoke it. Mm-hmm. We've all been there. Mm-hmm. If you smoked it, you would have found it.
I've got a hot take or whatever, something or whatever you want to call
it. Let's hear it. Let's get hot.
I don't understand how people, after they shoot a deer, it's like, even with a bow, or especially with a bow, it's like, I don't know where I hit it. What do you mean you don't know where you hit it? I have never had an instance where I was like, I don't know where I hit it. This year, my first buck, I knew exactly where, well, I thought I knew exactly where I hit it. I hit it low. I thought I hit it low, but I hit an inch to the right of where I thought I hit it. Mm-hmm. But I was never like, I don't know. No idea.
Yeah.
Could have grass backed him. Could have, you know, high, whatever. A lot to me is I've shot lighted notch for 13 years now. And I know that number just because we had a conversation about the other day. I have a lot of buddies that do not shoot lighted notch. Me, I am pro lighted notch.
Same.
Now, it can give you false triggers or false whatever it is. Sometimes I've never had that instance, but I will tell you, if you're not shooting lighted notch, you need to. And it baffles me when people are like, I have no idea where I hit it, you know? And yeah. That's not me coming from like filming either, because the two bucks that I shot this year weren't on film, but I'm like, I still know where I hit the deer.
I get your point. I've had it. I maybe had it happen more when I was a youngster shooting adrenaline and I didn't follow my shot execution. Now, the most recent one I had where I'm like, I don't know where I actually hit it was 2 years ago. I shot at a buck. I ended up killing this deer 5 days later, but where I had a branch low where I'd hung my stand and I think my limb hit the branch on my bottom limb and it made my arrow fly funky. And I hit the deer, but it didn't like penetrate the deer. Hard to explain, but yep. I know what happened now because I killed the deer 5 days later and he was fine. But like it kicked my arrow funky and it like didn't fly straight it's a weird, rare instance, but I'm like, I don't know where it went. And that's really weird for me. So that's one instance where it's happened to me, but I know what you're saying.
I've had those where I'm like, it's low, but I don't know how low. Like, I've had that, but what I'm talking about is people that are just like, I'm thorough. Like if you were to shoot a buck and you call me and you're like, hey, what do you think? And I'm like, where'd you shoot it? And you're like, bah, could be center mass, could be hind quarter. And it's like, we should know that. We should know quarters, like where we're at.
You're right. And I feel like I'm that guy too. It's like, where'd you hit it? Well, I'm not really sure. Well, how'd it react? Well, I don't really know. Well, how did it react after the shot? How far did it run? Well, I'm like, listen, these details maybe right now seem like they don't matter, but they, in the grand scheme of you recovering this deer, all that stuff matters. Mm-hmm. I feel like that experience brings that too. Like, I shoot a deer, if it doesn't fall in front of me, I'm watching it until I can't see it anymore, and I'm marking bushes and trees that it walked by.
Oh, 100%.
And that comes with experience, I think, over the time and doing it and
Yeah, it does. And I will attest, I'll give that to my dad. Like, my dad was like drilled things into me when I was a young kid. Like, you know, when you shoot the animal, you have to pick a tree that it runs by. I don't care if the tree's 100 yards away. I need to know what tree this thing runs by, mm-hmm. you know? So I remember shooting deer when I was little, and specifically there's this 8-point we call it the FU 8-point, because mm-hmm. long story with walkie talkies, and we used to use walkie talkies for cell phones of like, hey, what are you seeing kind of thing from the stand. And
yeah.
My cousin and I were walkie talkieing, and I was 16, he was 13, and we were throwing F-bombs on the on the walkie talk because we didn't realize our dad was at the cabin. Our dads were at the cabin listening to our whole conversation, and we got in a lot of trouble for it.
That's amazing. So
we call it the FU buck. Anyway, I remember this deer runs, and he like just hits this tree. Like I could see it right now. He just like Goldberg coming and spearing someone, hits this tree, but it was like 150 yards from me. And I'm like, Dad, he hit that tree. I know he did. So we were right there, and it like knocked off, I don't know, 150 yards of the blood trail or whatever. But I just threw the timber, and I'm like, I'll never forget that. Like, pick out a landmark. And I still do that to this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like you said, those details, people need to know those details. If you have a dog come out and track or something like that, they need to know, man, like, how'd this deer react? Was his tail down? Was his butt down? Like, so many different things.
Well, you know, too, like on DeerCast, they have that tool DeerCast Track built in, which I think is like, if you only buy it for that, worth it. So, and I talked to Mark about it because I remember I was at the jury office when they were like developing that tool. So I actually got to see some of the editors go through and like cut some of the shots and organize it through the app, which is really neat. But Mark's like, I kind of invented this out of like a selfish reason, because I get so many calls that it's a genius tool.
100%. I've used it. And honestly, like last year when I shot my Michigan buck and I called you and I hit the deer back, I knew I hit the deer back. It was in the guts.
Mm-hmm.
I've never gut shot a deer before then. And when I went on DeerCast Track, you know, Mark in that was saying 24 hours, you know. Well, I think what he said, I have to go back and look, but he said like 12 to 24 hours. I went in there at 12 and the deer was out of his bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught up to him at 18 or 19 hours and he was still alive, you know, and he was still alive at 27 hours the next day, you know. So that's an instance I've never went through before. But now with all those little, that track itself and the 48 hours it took me to find that deer, you know, that taught me a ton. But the deer cast, the track was like huge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just hearing that from, I'm not gonna lie to you, you listen to a Mark or Terry, you're gonna listen. Those guys have done it all, seen it all. I don't care who you are. They can get all the bad whatever about them. I really enjoy those guys. I've actually got to meet them.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys just have been there, seen it, done it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You need to listen to them.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can deny that one. It's like they're the goats of whitetails, you know. I want to ask. All right, this is I don't even know if this is a hot take, and maybe you just agree with me, but I've been seeing you always see the debate since we're talking like shot placement and stuff. I think Deer and Deer Hunting did an Instagram video where they had like a biological 3D diagram that you could like pull pieces off of a deer body, and there's always that thing that says like, There's no such thing as no man's land on a deer. Like, the lungs go up to the spine and all that. But they're like, if you look at it and then they pull the scapula away, I'm like, no, that's the no man. You just removed the no man's land. Do you agree with that? Like, no man's land is the scapula.
Yeah. So I don't even know what no man's land really is. I mean, I believe that there is, but I'm going to tell you why I believe that, because I think a lot of people hit the deer high into no man's land, but
or is no man's land the backstrap? You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, to me, it's not. To me, it's a one lung hit deer, which, like you said, the lungs go all the way up or whatever. They do go really high. Like, there's just not a portion of the deer that is this big that there is nothing. Like, you look at it, you're going to.
Well, that's what I call the scapula.
I agree with you, though. That's a good take.
Let me see if I can pull up.
I didn't even think about that, to be honest with you. But I will say, I am seeing more one lung hit deer living than not.
Yeah, it's
weird.
I mean, they can live on one lung. Here, let me pull up DeerCast Track.
Yeah.
So if you guys don't have DeerCast Track, I'm going to crudely show you from my phone. So there's this diagram of the deer, and you can move that cursor around anywhere that you think you hit your deer, anywhere. And a library of videos and tips and recovery tools will pop up that show that. So let's go to – and you can actually do – well, look at this. So I'm going to put it on the scapula, and we'll just see what pops up.
Okay. Have you asked Mark and Terry about No Man's Land? What's their thought on it?
I don't think, I don't know if I've ever asked them directly, but I will next time that I record with
them. I'd like to know from them.
So there, you go through and there's swipe left or right for additional hits. So targeted results, 3D deer tracking tips. So then there's, so they're calling high shoulder, upper chest, and then there's all the different angles that a deer could be for your shot, which you can adjust the angles on the deer. You can move it around.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go.
I'm not going to lie to you. I will agree now that I'm thinking like the scapula, it is a no man's, like behind the scapula, like a high shoulder hit. There really isn't anything back there.
Yeah. Well, it's a shield. So let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's watch this. Let me just see. I'm going to have the volume down. Actually, you know what? I wonder if I can do this, actually.
Plug it right into your board.
Yeah. Can you hear that?
No. A little bit, but I can't really hear what he's saying.
Can you hear the sound?
A little bit.
Okay, let's see.
Sounds like it's glitchy.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it'd play in a little cleaner for you, but...
Do you have... It should, though.
So this is saying... It all depends what you're...
Penetration and the deer's reaction. If this hit was a half inch back and a half inch low, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. Look at the arrow.
Can you hear that?
I can hear it really good now.
Okay. Let me go back a little bit.
Where'd you put the cursor, though?
Right on the scapula. And there's there's a whole library here. I just clicked on the first one. So. There you hear the shot.
Once again, two things that stand out, penetration and the deer's reaction. If this hit was a half inch back and a half inch low, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. Look at the arrow out. So as the deer gets out there and stops, you can see the arrow. It's not straight in. It's angled. I would imagine he's got some deflection from the broadhead hitting and turning and going in. You can see the deer stop. He's looking around. He's fully aware of everything that's going on. You don't see any ears drooping or anything. And I, from what I could tell, I didn't see a lot of blood. This definitely looks like it's a little high and a little far forward. Not far off of where you would want to be. This deer is going to go and pull the arrow out or maybe bed. I would back out, leave this deer a little while just from his reaction, and then go from the sign that you see there. You might find a bed off of this deer, and then there's not anything else afterwards. This is going to be one of them we talked about you're not going to find, and you put your trail camera out and hope when you find this deer again. And I say that just because of the penetration and because of the deer's reaction.
Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, this one looks like a shoulder shot to me.
Scapula.
Very limited penetration. You hear it a smack.
That's
you
Tracker John talking.
All hanging way out. Bad news, these don't play out well on a huge buck like that. If our eyes are deceiving us and somehow it went in farther than we're thinking and came back out or something like that, I guess anything's possible, but that's not what I see when I look at this. I see a shoulder shot, almost no penetration. I would say you might as well have a peek at an hour or two.
Interesting.
It is because... That first hit, well, right there, maybe an inch, half inch, inch higher. In 2018, I shot a buck here in Michigan, and I hit that.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it was a carbon copy of what you just showed. No penetration. I got like 6 inches of penetration.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting mechanical.
Which you're one lung at that point if you get through that.
And honestly, I don't even know if I got a lung, to be honest with you. He ran and ran and ran, ended up living. I had two encounters with him after that. He ended up getting hit by a car December 18th. Yeah, it wasn't a good deal. It was a deer I was chasing for 3 years.
What a bummer.
And, yeah. And
I didn't mean to laugh at you, for the record. I just, just bad luck.
I deserve it. I rushed the shot, you know, and it was one of those things that just like bang, bang in the last pocket, you know, that I had. And that deer, in my opinion, all the things I've seen, that deer, you're not going to find that deer. That deer's not going to die. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you, from that hit, if you go an inch left, inch down is where I hit my deer, my first deer this year, right through the front shoulder, took his heart out and came out the pocket the other side. And I'm shooting a pretty heavy setup now with a single bevel. And, man, yeah, that, but that shoulder hit, like, I agree with you. Like that is kind of the no man's. You might have changed me on that.
Well, every time I see that, when they're just like in that diagram I saw, and I don't even know if that was like a topic of debate, it was like the shoulder or not. It's just like, is there a dead space or not? But when he pulls the scapula away, I'm like, whoa. You're just, that's the conversation right there. You just removed the shoulder. Right. So, yeah. But I think people think that shoulder is low where the leg bone is. Do you know what I mean?
I agree with you. Yep.
That's where they think the shoulder is. There's a leg bone there.
Yeah, and that shoulder goes high, like almost to the top of his back, or almost to his back straps, really.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think there's a – I hate whenever the no man's land topic gets brought up, they ignore the shoulder because they're debating the dead space.
Yeah. I will say I have had deer – I have hit a deer, quote-unquote, no man's land high, and it blew right through him. And he lived, showed up on camera a couple days later with a hole through him. But like I said, I think it was either like a one lung hit deer and or just didn't hit anything.
Hmm.
You know,
I hit an 8-pointer in 2017 in the shoulder, and I knew right away he was going to be fine. And then like 3 miles away, a guy found the sheds. I know the guy, and it was a monster, dude, like 14-inch G2s.
Oh.
Stupid. It's like high 160s as an 8-pointer. And
dude, you've killed a giant 8-pointers. Like, you're an 8-pointing freak.
I don't know what it is about. I love 8-pointers. I'll keep them coming, you know, whatever's doing that for me. But I don't know. It's just, if they just had 10 points, I'd be killing some really high-scoring deer. Oh,
you'd have some booners, man.
Yeah, I got my 8 in here that I killed in November, and he's just a stud. But like, it's weird. Yeah. I'll grab him. I'll show you. What's funny about this buck is that he's big. Like, he looks big forward, but when he turns, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, there he is forward, which he looks like a good buck, but.
Framey deer, man.
Yeah. I'm pumped, but check out his little unicorn point.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. I didn't know that was there. I had a bunch of pictures of this buck, but 13-inch twos. So.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, man. Pretty pumped with them.
Those are big eights, man. Like, let's be honest. Like, 130-inch eight is a big eight. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a 150 right there.
I think people don't give 8-pointers enough credit. You know what I mean? If you're like, I killed 130-inch 8-pointer, I think a lot of people just hear 130 and they're like, oh, you're measuring 3 points on an 8-pointer.
Yeah, like my buck this year, my second deer, he broke both of his brows off. You couldn't even score one. The other one had like an inch on him. But as like a 7-point, he scored 132.
See, that's awesome. That's a big buck.
Yeah, so, and I've been trying to find somebody that's got pictures of him, because he's more than likely a 4-year-old. He was a big deer, but he's low to mid-40s with his brows, you know, and I just want to know what his brows look like, but yeah. As is, you know, as a 7-point, he scored like 132. So,
see, that's awesome. Yeah. I like big eights. Deer. Doug killed 158-inch 8-pointer last year.
When I came to the studio last year, wasn't it? Wasn't it last year?
Yeah, it's this buck that I shot with 8 more inches on it.
That was a toad, though, he killed.
It's a giant, and he passed that deer the first time he saw it.
It was bird watching.
Yeah, but I'll take big 8-pointers, man. The frame on them is just what gets me. You know about it, but then the Geyer buck, you know, my dad's big giant buck. It's not a mainframe 8-pointer with junk, but his main frame as an eight is like one. I had to look it up. It's 174 or 176. Mm. Just the frame.
That's wild.
Stupid.
Wild, man.
It's stupid. I should go pull that thing off the wall and show it on here because I think people don't give that deer credit because we bring that skull to the trade shows. Mm-hmm. And have you seen the skull in person?
Yeah.
It was here?
Yep.
I didn't know.
Yep.
But when
No, not the replica. No.
Let me
not
grab
when
it.
I was at the studio.
Let me grab it real quick. I don't know if I'll be able to. I should be able to get it. Give me one sec. We're just kind of messing around now.
Yep.
Here you go, Aaron.
Mm. Yeah. Dude, his beams are like so long.
So I think when we talk about this buck, people don't realize it. So I'm kind of glad I'm doing this on this just the Zoom call. But, I mean, you take this buck.
What did he end up scoring in the 80s?
191.
91. Oh, my gosh, dude.
You know what I mean? So, it's silly.
Like, I know this. I know a lot of the story about the Geyer buck, but did you guys have history with him?
So, it was before, like, trail cameras were a big thing.
Yep.
So I saw him a week before hunting, and then my dad shot him like the day or two before Illinois firearm season. But he's just a hog.
He looks fake. He's in the 70s as an 8-pointer?
70. I had to pull up the score sheet. I think 76.
His beams have got to be 26s, if not more.
27. I think they're both 27. One's almost 28. One's 20, just over 27.
When you get into that 25, 26 inch main beam, you're talking booner.
Yeah.
I mean, just depending on, that's what you need to get to a booner. Like one of the big things in my opinion, like, and I didn't realize that much until last year. I shot my 10 from Ohio. He was a clean 10. But he had both 26 inch main beams. He scored right on 170, but he also had 8-inch fours.
It's a hog.
So fours and beams, in my opinion, get you there.
Agreed. Good mass is underrated as well. You know, a good mass on a deer gets you a long way, but you know, I've measured a lot of deer and I always say like a big frame deer, like a truly big, like exceptional big frame deer starts at 24 inch beams.
Yeah. Well, and think about it too, like, a lot of the deer that I'm trying to get a score on here in Michigan, like I automatically put like 18 inch main beams on them. Cause that's, you know, that's what we're getting around here for like a mid teens to 120 to 125 inch. Like you're getting about 18, 19 inch main beam. If you can get 22s around here, that's a pretty good buck. You're 30s, 40s type deer. You know,
I think a lot of deer here, I'd say like an average beam on a good buck is like 21 inches.
Yep. That makes sense.
You know, 22 inches. I think my buck, I have to check the score sheet. He's 22, 23 beams. So maybe I'm not giving him credit.
My score sheet on my buck this year. Cause I can't remember. My second deer this year, my first one was the mid one teens. I can't remember what it was, like 113 or something like that. He had a 7-inch double main beam. And
that's
then
awesome.
The second buck, like I said, was low 130s, but his mass was ridiculous. Like the other thing, and I know you and I've talked about this a little bit and you guys have talked about it, like the shear, like my G2s on the buck were bladed. Like they were bigger than like my fingers wide. Like why can't we just do circumference too?
All the way up like a big deer. I know. I wish they got credit for it. Dude, a deer I hunted last year, I hunted my butt off for him. Almost got him, but I ended up finding him dead during shed season, got my salvage tag, all that. Austin and I debated the score on this deer because I have a lot of pictures of him. I have a lot of history with him, so very familiar with what he looks like. Austin and I debated the score on this buck back and forth. I said he was pushing 180s. I said 180, maybe a touch over. Austin said 170 to 170, like 4 175, and I would have swore if you would have had put money on it that he had massive 26 beams. Find him, 21-inch beams, and he scored 175.
Holy cow.
With 21-inch beams.
That's unreal.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, if he would have had his 24-plus beams like I thought he had, he would have been 180.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would have been he'd have been one. Oh yeah, just about 180. So
yeah.
I don't know, man. It's
wild.
It's fun what breaks down, like what a big deer is when you see what it takes to make, you know, a 191 inch mainframe 8-pointer, you know what I mean? Or whatever it is. So
yeah. And you know, my one I killed in Iowa, he went 186. He was 13 inches inside spread.
That's
but
nuts.
He had 17 scoreable, but he also, like you said, mass. Doesn't mass make up about 40% of your score? That's what I've always...
Ooh, I don't know.
That's what I always went on. But anyway, his mass, he had 46 inches of mass.
Makes a big difference.
That's ridiculous, and that's just mass alone. I mean, his bases were over sixes, you know?
They
were like six and...
Good bases, man. That'll take a deer from a good mass in general. Yeah, it takes a buck from being good to great fast, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
And that's what, like, the Geyer buck's got heavy bases and good mass. And then my buck's got, I'd say, a touch over above average mass. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But you get a lot of them spindly, tall, tined eights, and I'll take them too, but they just, they don't hit 150.
Right, yeah, it's like, I remember a deer that we killed in Illinois in 2013. He comes in the field. We're hunting on the ground. It's muzzleloader season. Hunting on the ground. He comes in this cut cornfield at like 80 yards. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you are giant. Mm-hmm. Like, looked like a 160 inch eight, 170 inch eight. Shoot him, go up to him, scores 134.
Yeah.
And it's like, he was just wispy, had 13 inch twos, you know, but his he was just wispy. He was just not.
Yeah.
When he walks in there, man, and it's like, that's a toad. And he was a good deer. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But you
at
take
the time,
a,
I was...
Dude, you take a buck like that and put him in the timber, and he gets past a guy, and the guy sees that buck walking away from him, he goes home, and he goes, I saw a 160-inch 8-pointer, just like you said. It's like,
yep,
big eights will trick you.
Yeah.
You know?
I got tricked. My first year this year, I got tricked a little bit, and I wasn't mad that I shot him at all, but when he was walking in, I saw him... When I was going out to the farm, I hunt ag ground, and I was driving down the road. I actually have footage of him through the spotter. I look over, and he's coming out of the timber under the tree where I'm going to go. I'm like, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, what are you doing? It's October 13th.
Yeah.
Because he's coming out eating some beans. So I had to wait him out until he went back in the timber. Then I snuck in there. And anyway, so I knew I had a good look through the spotter with him. But then when he showed up at like 30 yards, I'm like, boy, he's bigger than I thought he was.
Yeah.
And he walks in and I shoot him. He's got decent mass. But then when I walked up to him, I'm like, oh, I was super stoked. But I'm like, ooh, like a little bit of ground shrinkage.
Yeah.
Little, you know, I figured he was probably going to hit 20,
yeah,
maybe 25. And he was, you know, like 113,
yeah,
which is okay.
Yeah. Hey, dude, it works.
That's a top 10% that I'm hunting here. So if I can kill a deer in the mid teens or bigger every year, that's what I'm hunting. So.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. That's your area. It's I did, you know, going back to the everything getting shot up, a few deer did make it that I'm hopeful to see next fall. So we'll just see. There's a lot against them. But dude, this is a fun BS session here on DeerCast. It's the first one, I think, that we've really done, just talk about anything and everything and nothing direct. So I appreciate you taking the time. Especially right before the holidays like this, or, you know, in podcast land right after the holidays. So,
yeah. Well,
man,
thanks for having me on, man. I know we're ATA's coming up, and I know we're both going to be there. I'll be podcasting there as well. So,
yeah,
I think you're going to jump on my show too. So, yeah, I'm super excited about that. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on. Where can people find you?
Anywhere you guys download podcasts, search The Fall Podcast on YouTube. If you want to watch some YouTube content, The Fall Podcast on YouTube, Instagram, same thing. I do have a TikTok, shamelessly. I do have a TikTok. So, I'm putting more reels up there from the podcast episode, so you guys can see that as well. So, yeah, anywhere you guys, Facebook as well, get all that stuff. That's where you can find me.
Cool. Well, thanks, man. Thanks, everyone, tuning in, listening, watching. You know what to do. Stay calculated. Go shoot a giant. It's time for me to leave. We love you.